Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok is here. Libby Post is here to my immediate left, as you always should be.
To your far left.
And yes, and University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo joins us as well. Rosemary, you need a microphone.
I do. I don't have a microphone. I'll find one.
There you go.
I'll work.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. Good morning and welcome. We have a lot to talk about. You know, it's Super Tuesday, and we want to go into today talking about Super Tuesday. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. Just David reminded you a few moments ago, but we'll highlight the point that if you live in Massachusetts and Vermont, it is time to go out and vote, we'll find out tonight what you were all up to. And then a lot of other contests going on as well. 13, is that right, Rosemary? 13?
It's 12 states and one territory. Although it is odd, up until I read that in the Times today with the states listed, I had thought it was 11. So we do not have an uncomplicated primary voting system in this country.
No, we just hope that the people who are in those particular states and commonwealths districts that they know exactly where they are. Okay, so we begin with this question. Will Donald Trump do as well as he is expected to do? Alan, you have a newspaper in front of you that has the new CNN poll. What does that tell us?
It tells us, it says here, CNN National Poll, Super Tuesday, End of Day Special Edition. Okay, Trump 49%.
Gosh.
Rubio 16%. Isn't that interesting? Cruz, 15%. So the two of them really don't even add up to his 49%. Carson, 10%, which is a little higher than he's been doing.
Yeah, he's been in the sevens.
Yeah, and Kasich, 6.
Wow.
And that is, so
attacking
even...
I made that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even if, as some of the party have been trying to plead with some of the candidates to get out.
Sure.
Even if they were and, say, throw all their support behind Marco Rubio, they still would be losing to Trump.
I don't have any doubt about it, because a lot of those people would go to Trump.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right about that.
Yeah, he's not afraid of them dropping. He is not afraid of them dropping out. I watched an interview last night. Anderson Cooper interviewed Trump's third wife.
Yes.
She's an asset. I'm stunned by this. She was excellent. And I think he has groomed his children and now his spouse. They are election assets.
She is very articulate, I think, on the race, and I guess it's the talking points, right?
But it's totally the talking points, but she comes off very,
very
convincingly,
charming.
Yes, as her own person,
yes.
Not being manipulated.
Very confident.
Yep.
Yes. It was, I did not see the entire interview. They were showing clips of it prior to it during the day that I was listening to, and it was very interesting. So meanwhile, in the article I sent out, the GOP is still melting down quite as to what to do on this. Do we support this man and pay the consequences,
or
do we revolt and say...
Split up the party
and maybe start from scratch and press the reset button?
I was thinking about it, so that if an... fact that they decide that they're going to really run a third-party campaign, even though it's not going to be an official third party, that, of course, really leaves them on the barroom
floor. Incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think they all know that if Trump is the nominee, it will kill the party.
I got a question for you, Libby. If any of them are the
nominee. Yeah, it's true. But I think even more so, I mean, these are people who don't want to deal with the fact that demographics are showing that, you know, we will soon become a non-white majority country.
Yeah, you're right. Let me talk about that
a little bit. And that's where a lot of this fear is coming from. They're still grasping at this notion that we're in the 1950s and women stay home with their kids and barefoot and pregnant and, you know, the men go out and make the day. And so it's all this fear. And so what they do is they demonize people. I mean, you know, a bunch of African-American students were thrown out of a Trump rally yesterday. I don't get how the Secret Service got into manhandling and choking a Times photographer, reporter.
Well,
you know, I mean, these are thugs. These are people.
I'm going to stop you there because the reporter and journalist provoked the officer.
So what?
Yeah, okay,
okay. First of all, that Secret Service agent is not working for the party.
Supposedly not, but he was. He was enforcing a rule that the Trump campaign made that you cannot go in this area. That had protesters. It wasn't a matter of security.
But the guy swore at him and then pushed him.
So what?
Yes, and
no,
by the way, I
him.
Saw the clip.
I don't know.
I saw the clip, and the guy was down on the floor. He was pushed, all right, no question.
Yeah, but to choke him.
Whoa! And then he looked up, and he sort of explained to the guy what he was doing, and the guy left him alone. In other words, you know, it wasn't quite the conspiratorial thing that you're making.
The guy got hot. He did not act professionally. Secret Service is not supposed to do that, and he should be disciplined. But I think that's different than roughing up black attendees at a rally.
Can we go there for a minute?
Yeah, that's where we should.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We know that if every person who makes nothing to $25,000 a year were to vote in the United States of America, that there is no way the Democrats would ever lose an election, right? We know that.
Well, we have seen over and over again that people vote against their own self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from spin.
Or they don't vote.
Or they don't vote at all.
Simply saying, this is a time when the leadership of the disenfranchised communities has to get up there and say precisely what's her name said the other day about people who didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, which is, you know, this is your, you have to do this as you know, students, stop talking and go and vote.
And go and do it.
Black people, stop talking and go and vote, because if you don't, the way this system is set up, you lose.
Right.
It's that simple.
The issue is why would the people who are supporting Trump.
Yeah.
Who are uneducated, working class folks, you know, non-college degreed folks. He's not going to do.
Undereducated.
Yeah, I know. I love the undereducated.
He
too.
Also said, I love the educated.
I love the poorly educated, is what he said. They are rallying around him because they are just responding to the sound bites, and they're angry because of the demographic shift, and he's tapping into their fear and their anger. And, you know, he's not going to do anything to make their lives better.
Well,
that's for sure.
That's what you say.
Well, that's what I know.
Yeah, but you're establishment.
Yes, I am.
And you're living.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So,
that's the thing. Here we have working class people, middle class people who are angry, and they're voting against their own self interest.
I personally am terrified at the continuing sight of people being interviewed in malls and car lots and on the street.
Yeah.
Regular people with the women with the puffy hair and spectacles, and men, you know, with the sloppy shirts, and they all love and honor, and they're cheering him like a rock star, and it's. Whoa, this is really frightening.
What's really happening here is the notion that we no longer have to be civil to one another.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday we were in the airport, and there was a woman of color who worked for JetBlue, and there was a guy with a American flag shirt on,
mm-hmm.
okay, looked like a Trump voter to me.
Not the stereotype or anything.
Asked her, well,
I fly an American flag in front of my house.
Great.
I don't want them to take my flag.
A simple question. Yeah. She answered him, giving him maybe a little bit more information than he needed. I don't need that much information. And called her a derogative word as he walked away.
Really?
And I was like, what's happening to civility in our country? This is what Donald Trump is doing. It's making it okay for people to act out and say the most outrageous things without any sort of self-filter.
Wow.
And we're losing our civility. And then he doesn't know who David Duke is.
And
he's quite not sure about the KKK either.
Okay, I think the press overblew that whole thing with David Duke. I don't think he had a missing earpiece or a faulty earpiece. No. However, he did denounce the guy. Why did he get asked the question again? He had denounced it.
No, he
and he has
really
in the past. I'm sorry,
no,
he has in the
no,
past.
No, he didn't really denounce him at all. He was like, I really don't know who he is. What are you talking about?
He had denounced him, but then he went back and forth. And I think
because
that,
he kept getting asked about it, Joe. And Gergen is right about this. Gergen has said, I don't think he's a racist. He has in the past rejected this group.
Oh, come
and
on.
David Duke. Why would he be doing it differently now?
I'll tell you exactly. Well,
yeah, I was just going to say he was playing it. That's what he was doing. He's
he doesn't want to lose those voters.
Right. He's playing to people.
He doesn't need those voters.
Fears.
Oh, he does need those
voters.
Sure he does. That's his constituency.
He has them without saying it. He could have denounced it. Just like the head of a supremacist group spoke last night saying, I don't know whether he wants us to support him or not, but we do. So he doesn't have to embrace David Duke in public, which would hurt him with some voters, in order to get the supremacist vote. I think we made a big, giant mountain out of him.
I agree with you if he had, on the Jake Tapper interview, said, I denounced him once, I denounce him again, I don't know what else you want, instead of frumping around.
Right.
I have to say, I'm not a Trump supporter in any way, but I listen to it a whole lot, and I think you may think it's an explanation he came up with artificially, but it holds water. It didn't hurt him with his supporters.
What holds water?
That I didn't hear, I thought
I
you were referring
think,
to
no,
some
I
group,
disagree.
I already
no, no,
knew,
no.
I had already denounced him.
I don't want to fight and have this become the whole thing, but first of all, they said he had done 10 other interviews with that same earpiece. He didn't have any trouble with it.
I don't think it was the earpiece. I agree with that.
Okay.
No, I think it was what he wanted to say, and I don't think he remembers half the things that he does say, and I do think he's a racist. I think that you wouldn't say the things he says about Mexicans being rapists. His son went on the air the other day in response to the Oscars and the folks, African-American actors who are against Trump, saying, we'll help them move to Canada. We don't want them here.
I'm not going to say anything that makes me sound like a defender of Trump. I'm simply talking about the behavior of the media. We did the same thing with Cruz with CNN, where I think he was totally lying, but we just kept piling on saying, no, here's proof that he misrepresented what CNN reported on Ben Carson. Do you remember that?
I do remember it, but I'm not sure.
And he did
sure
not look
you're...
bad. The press looked bad.
Well, it always comes down to CNN, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know.
Well,
we're getting a lot
active,
of letters here,
they're
Joe.
They're getting a lot of...
And Deanne, who writes to us a good deal, says, I agree with Libby that people who vote for Trump are voting against their own self-interest. Now, as far as I can see, Trump has no platform. What does he stand for besides change at blocking immigration? That's what Deanne says. I'm so surprised that Deanne feels that way. Let's see. Eric says, anyone having Triumph of the Will flashbacks? I expect a torchlight parade any moment now. And Judy says, greetings, folks. Vis-a-vis Donald Trump's candidacy, I have gone through 4 of the 5 stages of dying process, denial, anger, bargaining, and depression, but I will never get to acceptance. I agree with Rosemary. It's terrifying. Whatever shall we do?
Can I just say
sure,
one thing? There are some things that people can do who want to stop Trump. Concrete things like register, encourage others to register, sign up to volunteer to go get the vote out of the Democratic or whatever, some other Republican that you support. We actually can do some things besides just bemoan our fate.
There's plenty of things that people can do. It's about being active and taking responsibility as a voter, taking your civic responsibility seriously, which is something...
I'm going to give extra credit to students who register to vote and vote in the New York State primary.
Well, I have to tell you that my students, all of them say they're registered, 3 of them say they voted. So, I think that would be an interesting
They voted when?
Thing. They we voted like a while ago. But
the last cycle.
Yeah, the last cycle. You know, but
yeah, ask them what that means. It's probably one of the first Obama.
Part of this is, they're not old enough for the first Obama, but part of this is, we no longer teach civics in our schools. People no longer understand their responsibility as citizens.
Or they're lazy. Linda,
I'd like to think about it.
Linda says, good morning, panel. A question to ask yourself when choosing a president. Does the candidate sound like you and your friends after having a few drinks following a bad day? If so, they are unfit for the office. All right. And Joshua says, dear Roundtable, I'm a big fan of the show, but it's discouraging to hear the panel shock and surprise that Donald Trump's wife, Melania, is smart and articulate.
Oh,
it's 2016, and the idea that women are intelligent, regardless of party affiliation, shouldn't shock anyone.
She's a supermodel who, right, from Slovenia, who used Trump as a way to get into the country.
Card.
You
for
don't
his
know
green
that.
Card. Yes, we do.
Well, what if they just fell in love?
Oh, please.
Yeah, I mean, what if? Yeah.
And what if they were a Democrat?
Okay,
what if it's a Democrat who fell in love in Slovenia?
I was
going to
take a higher road and say that isn't exactly what we said. What we said was that she is a good spokesperson for the campaign.
That is what I said, but I do understand his meaning, and I agree with that, too. I do think that,
right,
too.
Well,
I was
you
not
fight that battle, then.
He has kept her under wraps for this whole, for how long has it been? 8 months? We have not heard her. It's Ivanka, his pregnant daughter, that he touts out as his spokesperson.
What's interesting with Ivanka is where are the Orthodox Jews? Because she's now an Orthodox Jew. She married an Orthodox Jewish boy, and she converted.
That was part of their defense in the campaign about David Duke and denouncing David Duke. Why wouldn't they denounce David Duke,
right,
given the...
Yeah, so it's very interesting. I wonder where those folks are.
Well, in fact, Barbara just said, I wish the, quote, media would also mention that the KKK is not only racist, but anti-Semitic, mm-hmm, and anti-Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're sort of
evil,
like Hitler.
And Gunner says, I'm a Bernie supporter, but every day I hear the roundtable pummel Trump in a way that seems to pass up the much more dangerous and obstructionist Ted Cruz. By the way, Gunner, did anybody hear that except me? I have an earpiece in my ear. And when it's running out of batteries, it goes...
No, I did not hear that.
No,
you're claiming your earpiece isn't working? I thought you were doing a Trump imitation.
Actually, Alan, I think it's out of your ear. Or maybe
No, that's just a piece of the thing.
Is that hair?
Okay, so Gunner says, I'm a Bernie supporter. Every day I hear the roundtable pummel Trump in a way that seems to pass off the much more dangerous and obstructionist Ted Cruz. You know, it's tough. It's a tough one, but I asked both of you that question.
Well, look at that poll. Yeah. One's getting 49%, one's getting 15%.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be honest.
Like
I'll be honest. I'm
Cruz.
With Gunner.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll.
Does that mean we have to do a session tromping on Ted Cruz? Okay.
Yes, sure.
We'll be back and continue our conversation after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post make up the group this morning, and we welcome your letters, roundtable at wamc.org. Well, look at this. Breaking a decade-long silence, Justice Clarence Thomas on Monday asked a question.
Amazing.
And apparently, from all reports, it was a good question. And it was he was able to get in the lawyer's face, and she had to back off. It was a gun question.
Yes, he wants to make sure that men who are convicted of misdemeanor domestic violence are allowed to have guns.
Yeah.
It's a great thing.
No, I'm not suggesting it was a great thing. Mm-hmm. I am suggesting he was true to his principles, which are terrible,
mm-hmm,
but that he did not make a fool of himself.
It was 10 years and 1 week after his last question. His record will stand for a long time. It has no modern competition. It has been at least 45 years since any other member of the court went even a single term without asking a question.
Well, I'm intrigued by this, and why did he ask the question now? Some people have suggested that maybe he was asking questions that he thought his great friend and dead colleague Antonin Scalia might have asked.
And now that it's 4-4, he may have felt he was needed in order to make the argument.
There you go, because the questions he asked were very disturbing. This was a case of a man accused of domestic abuse, and it's a minor case.
Right,
it's not
it's a
felony.
Misdemeanor.
He's asking why should he be deprived of his constitutional right to carry a gun. That terrifies me.
Sure. And I have to wonder whether or not Scalia told him to be quiet for 10 years.
Nah.
No. Scalia defended him and said, leave him alone. He doesn't need this. And he actually had his own explanation that he gave for this, which is that he used to be an attorney fighting in front of the justices, and he never had enough time. So when he, as a judge, wanted to make sure that the lawyers got a chance to present their case, it's very limited how much time they get before the bench.
Mm. Yeah.
Are we making too much of this? I mean, I was startled. It was like a breaking news alert that I got on my phone that he asked a question.
No, but it's fun.
It is fun. I mean, it's interesting, right?
Yeah, it's fun.
I mean,
that's,
I understand
that's a
your
really,
point.
No, that's a really good question. Why was it? I also, as soon as I saw the headline, I called up the story immediately. Why was it that important to me?
Well, as Rex always says on the media project, 1,000 planes land at the Albany Airport.
Right.
And
we
never write
anything.
A story.
Right.
One crashes.
Versus, sure.
Boy, do we write a story.
Right. Well, you know, it's good for him to start speaking so that people can really hear what he has to say. Because he's always sided with the conservative side of the court. But he's like this enigma, and you really don't know what he's thinking. So it's good that he's starting to ask questions.
Well, we pretty well know where he.
Yeah, I know where he stands, but it's good for him. It's good for us to hear him ask questions like, why shouldn't somebody who has a misdemeanor domestic violence charge still not have a gun? I mean, you know, it's the question. Well, maybe because he might go and shoot his wife.
Well, sure.
That seems like a good reason.
You think? Right.
But then you would extend that concept.
Well, it already is extended. I mean, there was the discussion about terrorists. You're on the no-fly list.
Right.
There's enough suspicion of you that they won't let you go on an airplane.
But
you can't lose your constitutional right to buy a gun.
Right.
Jeez.
And now in Iowa, they want to make it legal for children to carry guns.
In Texas, their teachers, professors, were given a document and a presentation on how they might want to alter their classes now that it's legal to carry guns. Students can bring guns on campus.
Yeah.
Did you see that? So, like, be careful of sensitive topics. In fact, you might want to just drop them entirely from your lecture. So if I'm killed speaking in a class, I want a memorial on this program because I'm not going to change anything.
Okay.
Well, you're going to get a memorial.
Yeah, we'll have
program.
A memorial.
Yeah, we'll do something.
Thank you.
For
say nice things about him.
Okay, so you, all right.
Yeah.
I didn't know like if you wanted like us to erect a statue or something in the studio.
Yeah, no,
you want that too?
We can do that also.
Oh, I didn't think of that. I like a statue, but I need to be thin in it.
Who would you?
Small.
Who
maybe
would
you a bobblehead.
Like yeah, a bobblehead.
A bobblehead.
I think
a bobblehead.
Because you can do the hair as the exaggerated element of the bobblehead.
It's strange how we put people in these positions, though, and this may be apropos of nothing, but I got a letter from my automobile manufacturer yesterday that said that there was a recall in the car, and the driver's side airbag is bad. Oh. Now,
what people are dying.
They don't have the fix for it, nor do they have the technology or the parts to fix it.
Right.
So, in big, bold letters, it says, the answer is, don't sit in the front seat.
They're great.
No. Oh, my gosh.
So much.
You died, but we warned you.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's pretty much it, right? We told you.
Drive from the back.
So, isn't that like the same thing of if you bring up a sensitive, well, what's, how do you define that? What's a sensitive subject in class, you know, that is going to incite kids to bring out their guns?
That would incite a weirdo who's sitting in your class with a gun ready to get you. How do you know what that is?
How do you know? So.
That's a funny story. I like that analogy.
Well, you and I both have Subarus, so that's a little.
Now, see, I wasn't going to give the name of it.
Oh, I don't care.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, it's my older model car, so it's not the.
But the truth is, right, Joe, that this company which makes the airbags has led to.
Takata.
Takata has led to a tremendous problem for all the manufacturers who use this.
Right.
This one thing that everybody uses.
So nobody has the. From the wording of the letter I got, which I, by the way, I was impressed that I actually, because you often get those letters and you can't understand a word basically.
Right,
it's
right,
all
right.
In legalese and you don't understand them. This one was fairly clear. Don't sit in the front seat.
In the driver's side or
the passenger side?
Oh,
the passenger side.
So, Kelly, you're going to be playing chauffeur.
No, she will be chauffeur. She drives. I do not. But
so you'll be sitting in the
back. Yeah, I'll be sitting in the back.
Like
well,
King
that'll
Tut.
Be lovely. That'd be lovely.
Chariot.
Take your cell phone and your
don't take
and your laptop
Rosemary.
With you. And don't forget to open up the sliding glass door every so often just to talk to
that's
the chauffeur.
Right. Wonder why the water isn't chilled.
Right.
Let's go back to some letters and then we'll move on to some other subjects.
Okay, Thomas says, Nina Totenberg suggested that the question was irrelevant because Second Amendment arguments were specifically excluded from the case. So maybe he should keep the status quo in the future, Jim and Montgomery meeting, shut up.
That's interesting.
Maybe you should do that. And Julia says, How about a Rosemary hologram in the front lobby?
Oh, nice.
That's very nice.
But I have to be thin in it.
Okay. Photoshop is a wonderful thing.
There you go.
Okay. Not to worry.
Okay. William says, put Rosemary's picture on a postage stamp. That's a good idea. Sharon says, every election year we bemoan how few people actually exercise their right to vote. And if they did, how we would be overwhelmingly vote Democratic. Why isn't voting reform talked about more seriously? Make Election Day a holiday requiring citizens to vote, addressing the growing crisis of the disenfranchisement of minority groups. Other countries do. Isn't it time we do it too? Yes, absolutely, Sharon. You are absolutely right. That's exactly what we ought to do. Maybe we ought to vote by mail. Maybe we ought to vote by, and even mail has some issues, right?
Right.
But we could make it much easier. We say you have to show up with a driver's license, or you have to show up with a
certain times, which are during the workday. Yeah,
okay, I'm going to whisper into the microphone what the problem is with doing this, because the Democrats are always for doing this.
Yeah.
It's Republicans.
Right.
Okay. Well, they always stop it because they know that the people are on the other side and that they're less likely to vote, and therefore they're going to say no. Now, one of the interesting things will be if the Republicans win the Senate in New York State. Libby, are you
listening? Yes, if the Democrats are
wrapped with attention.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
if the Democrats win the Senate in New York State,
mm-hmm.
will there be a change in the election laws making it easier to vote?
Probably not.
And you're right. You answered that question correct. Now, why?
Because election laws are crafted to protect the incumbents.
Exactly. Libby, you were one of the best students I ever had.
I was going to say, this is like going back to when
it's true, though.
Kids first met.
And Shirley Gordon taught me there are two rules for elected officials. And Shirley was a great lobbyist. She
Absolutely.
Ran family planning advocates for years. Yes. Get elected, get reelected.
Yeah,
well, that's it.
Yeah, that's been passed around.
Right.
That wisdom has been passed around for quite a while. When I was a child, I carefully loaded our .22 rifle, this is from Lee, to rescue my older sister from my father's manhandling. Our mother calmly pointed out that what I was planning would change our lives forever. Okay, thank you for that. And Phoebe says, the Supreme Court is currently composed of only Catholics and Jews. Please discuss.
The Supreme Court needs diversity in every means, women and as well as men,
gays
as well as straights, all religions. And I would point out they're all Ivy League educated. That's not healthy either.
Well, however.
Although I don't want the poorly educated people voting for Trump on the Supreme Court.
Well, right. That's the thing. You know, they're Ivy League educated. You supposedly want the best legal minds. So you could go to NYU. You can go to even Albany Law and perhaps be one of the best legal
minds.
You don't want somebody
hard to get them.
The mail-in law school, though.
Right.
What?
Right. But at this time, when it's so hard to get a name, a nominee through the Senate, you want the power of an Ivy League school.
Right.
We've ended up, though, with a class distinction on our Supreme Court.
EJ just wants you to know you're awesome. He says, usually I'm praising Alan, whom I love. He rocks. But I just wanted to follow my feelings and let her know, you, Rosemary, that she's equally as fabulous. Keep up the great work.
What am I, chopped liver?
Apparently.
Okay. I think you're great.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Yeah, me too.
No hologram.
You up my game. Wasn't that the Oscar thing? You up my game. I couldn't have done it without Libby.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and this little... Adulation
Love
Society
Love will
continue. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from New York Pain Management, offering pain management for chronic pain and spine care in a private office setting with doctors Charles Gordon and Quentin Fung. Be set free, nypainfree.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. And the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, maintaining 32 miles of trails throughout the Lake George region for snowshoeing, skiing, and winter exploration. HikeLakeGeorge.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. The last batch of Hillary Clinton's emails were released last night. Do we care, and will this end the controversy?
Wow. No, it will not end the controversy. The Republicans are going to keep that as alive as long as Whitewater and Benghazi and other fake scandals. But there's going to be nothing new in these emails.
Oh, yeah.
That's my prediction.
Alan?
Well, it takes a long time to get through all of those. I'm sure people are working on it right now. The question is, were things held back? I think the way that Hillary did all of this was wrong. I do. I'm sorry, guys. I know how you feel about Hillary. But I think it was an unnecessary thing. She knew the rules. She didn't do it. At least one.
She knew the rules were completely.
The rules,
no.
Before
she knew
her
the
did the same
she,
thing.
She knew the rules. And Petraeus, right? Didn't he get into real trouble?
No, he didn't get into real trouble. That's the whole thing.
Well, didn't he have to take a plea?
They slapped him on the wrist, and of course he lost his job. So you can say,
right.
Did he take
well,
a real
those,
punishment?
Those
yeah, that's pretty
yeah.
serious.
But Colin Powell
but what
did
he
the
did,
same thing.
Wait a minute. What Petraeus did is not at all the same as what Hillary did. He was passing on top secret military information to a mistress.
Girlfriend. Right.
This is a woman who is talking with underlings, passing on newspaper articles.
Okay.
Not the same at all.
Look, there's a question just now, will the Bernie people vote for Hillary or for Trump?
Hillary.
Of course, that's ridiculous. They might vote for a very small 1% might vote for Jill Stein, who runs quite frequently, or for Ralph Nader if he puts his head up again. But that was a shot. they're certainly going to vote for Hillary. Certainly going to vote for Hillary.
And the other way around. If Bernie should pull it out, I don't see many Hillary supporters going over to the Trump side.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Do I
will vote for whoever the Democratic nominee is. There's too much at stake.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to some letters and see what is on people's minds.
Okay. No class differences on the court, really. Sotomayor has a little bit of class background difference versus the other ones.
That's true.
Okay. And then Michael says, if the Republicans form a third party, that could throw the election in the House, which would result in a Republican president. Could that be a Republican strategy? No, and they're not going to do it. They're not going to put a third party candidate up. What I was saying before, Michael, for whatever it's worth, is that they're going to run separate Senate campaigns, and it's going to be a different philosophy than that embraced by Trump in order to try to save the Senate. Okay.
They won't rally around him, that's for sure.
Right. Okay. Tom says, panel, did you see Bernie supporters voting for Trump if Hillary gets the nod? No, that's the one I just referred to, and the answer is no. F. Pettit. What did I say? Bruce Pettit called. Programs discussing Trump and interviewing his supporters have convinced me, because it's been said so many times, that the thoroughly disgusted voters, the one that recognized the Republican Party has done nothing in 8 years, one mentioned the 35 votes in the House to get rid of Obamacare. These are people almost identical to those Democrats' disillusion with the Democratic establishment's inaction, the growing disparity of wealth. Okay, that's correct. All right. And went on past the allotted number. And then John says, don't you know Rosemary's stamp has to be a 2-cent forever stamp so she can get his 2 cents in forever.
Cute. Cute.
Very good.
Okay. And Jim says, it is a widely held misconception that oral argument is usually the deciding factor in appellate cases. All parties involved in a case before any appellate court, including the Supreme Court of the United States, have already submitted exhaustive briefs. Citing all of the legal authority for the position is very bad form to bring up anything new at oral argument. No one knows why Justice Thomas does not ask questions, but he is under no obligation to do so. And
it is odd, though. 10 years of silence.
Is Trump's popularity consistent with the report this morning that the largest number of transplants this year in the USA were butts?
What does that mean?
It's a bunch of butts in the country making political
decisions.
No.
People are getting their butts operated on.
Oh, all right. I didn't know that was a thing.
Where have you been?
Libby is absolutely right, says Narcissa. Our failure to teach civics and our duties as citizens, back when my son was in second grade, I was shocked to read in his textbook on government that a citizen's duty were simply to obey all the laws and pick up the garbage. All right. And
Narcissa is a frequent writer. We like her name.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
And her thoughts, too.
And the pond that's behind her house.
And the what behind her house?
The pond.
The pond.
Okay.
Well, she gazes at her visage.
No. Okay. I apologize. Willard says, Trump's success is a product of constant media attention. He's receiving all the exposure, and the other candidates are largely neglected. Many PR professionals tell you there's no such thing as bad publicity. Rosemary in the Secret Service Agency defense, wouldn't you be angry if you were told you had to take a bullet for Trump? It is time to make Donald Trump again, thanks to John Oliver. Okay, and then there is a letter from David. At universities like UAlbany, the focus so much is on football. Perhaps the colleges need to refocus on political science and liberal arts instead of the aggressive rape and alcohol-infested college sports programs.
Is that true?
Well, I don't think our program, I certainly would never say that on the radio, is drug and alcohol infested. There definitely is a decline in the humanities at UAlbany and everywhere, new emphasis on the STEM programs, the technology and engineering and IT. And I hate that. I am a big supporter and believer in liberal arts education. I think it's sad that it's hard to fill up Shakespeare classes at UAlbany anymore. We don't get students taking many of the classics have disappeared. So that's bad. I think there's a point to what he's saying. Yeah, we've lost...
Just the focus on Division I, you know, as much as I love Karen Hitchcock and she brought Division I in, you know, the focus on sports takes away from the focus on academics. And, you know, the focus on STEM takes away from the ability for people to write a simple sentence. And, you know, we can't go through life not being able to express ourselves properly. And my fear is that we will have a generation.
Though it's easier with autocorrect.
Yeah, I guess. But I fear we're going to have a generation of people who can't write and express themselves. And that's really scary because that's exactly what somebody like Donald Trump wants.
We have 3 minutes. President Obama is to meet with Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican Majority Leader, and Senator Charles Grassley, the Chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, about filling the Supreme Court vacancy. What, if anything, will come out of these discussions?
I don't know, but it appears to me if those two guys are meeting, you might have a turtle convention.
I think you'll
He's not going to give that up. I heard a really interesting idea that Obama should nominate Mitch McConnell for the Supreme Court. What would he do then? I just love that idea.
Well,
there must be some sort of compromise.
Well,
coming.
Polling is showing if they don't do this, they'll get killed on this issue and for the Senate. So you put that coupled with Donald Trump as the presidential nominee, they could lose the Senate and they might even lose the House, although that's a little bigger of a jump.
Right.
But they would definitely lose the Senate.
The chances of getting the House back are very...
I know. It's very hard.
Yeah. What are you looking at?
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you were going to say something.
I think I was going to say something,
but
I forgot.
you went in, you approached the microphone as if you were going to speak, and I was ready to listen to you.
That's rare, but appreciate it.
Okay. All right, so...
Let me talk about this issue of the court. I think Libby's absolutely right. I think they did something that was really stupid. But these are brilliant people who have gotten themselves into office, the United States senators. They just acted like two-year-olds. They were stamping their feet and saying, no, we had 5-4. We were running the country. We were doing all of this stuff. And we do not want to give it up, and we won't give it up. And they really messed up.
Yes,
wait,
they
did. Supreme Court is responsible for not putting on another person? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. He's talking about the Senate.
No. These senators.
Senate leadership.
These senators are saying stupid in what they did here.
Mm-hmm.
They really couldn't get it. It was their vitriol over losing the majority on that court. I mean, what right did that guy have to die anyway?
And it goes back to their vitriol about having to deal with a man of color in the White House. It all goes back to that.
By the way, in the beginning, I didn't agree, but now I do. I just think it's absolutely racism of the first order from the very first day that guy walked into the White House. And they succeeded, remember, when they took the Congress in the by-elections. And they figured, well, that's going to work now.
Right, right.
We're on the right, we're on the right track.
We are out of time, but I want to thank everybody who wrote in. You can still write roundtable at WAMC.org. Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok, thank you very much. We will be back tomorrow for another discussion. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.